Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the Hoops action is heating up, and Tipico Sportsbook is the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cashback in the industry with up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN100 to get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
FCU.org/free.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And fellas, listen up. The one you love, the light of your life. Like most men, you want to do whatever you can to nurture your relationship. But if you're suffering from erectile dysfunction, you know the impacts the condition is like having on you and your partner. And the reality is, ED is a relationship destroyer. It can contribute to depression, distancing, conflicts, breakups, divorce. What's so disturbing about this is most men who suffer with ED can be successfully treated, but a lot of guys don't seek the treatment that they should, and that's where my friends at Tri-State Men's Health come in. Tri-State Men's Health treatments work where the pills and herbals fail. They have treatments with success rates well over 90%. So do yourself a favor. Schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health here in town today. Your initial visit, $99, includes medical consult, licensed medical provider. You get a TNPSA test, and if medically advised, a test dose. If that test dose doesn't work, then the office visit is going to be free. It's a no-lose, win-win for you. Give my friends a call today. Get your sex life back on track. 800-900-9654 or visit TriStateMen'sHealth.com today for more. He was the story of the first month of the season. Deion Sanders was the story. His kid was secondary. Yeah, his kid was eighth. He was the story. It was a month. They were getting 10 million people watching them play Colorado State at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, that was happening. He had College Game Day out there once. He had Big Noon out there at least twice to their games. People figured out very quickly that they were interested in that, and it was a phenomenon for a month. And it was the other thing that happened was it was really the perfect storm. It was the early season. There weren't a lot of great games in the first month of the season to begin with last year for whatever reason. Programs weren't what they were used to be or accustomed to be. And so the matchups weren't quite as shiny early on as they typically were. And so that was a part of it. The other part of it is Boulder, Colorado is a beautiful place in September. So every time they were live there, you see this incredible panorama of that campus and everything around it. But here's the deal. There wasn't much substance to it. And you probably got a feeling that it was heading that way early on. They had the win against Colorado, and then they had the Colorado State game where Travis Hunter got hurt, and it started to spiral from there. And they ended up 4-8 in year one. So you say to yourself, okay, what are you going to get out of year two with Deion Sanders? Well, surely he's going to recruit. Nah, actually not. He didn't want to go on the recruiting trail because he doesn't want to visit one school and be worried that players at another school are going to be jealous of that.
He's too big a star to recruit.
Yeah. So you say, okay, well, he's going to have to portal in a very big way because, you know, again, who's on this roster? We all remember about a year ago when he said, Louis, right? I'm bringing new luggage and it's Louis. In other words, you guys all get out of here. Well, that luggage went 4-8. All right. So this week in this new portal that opened on Monday, 14 Colorado players entered the transfer portal. Now, Coach Prime downplayed the notion that departures will have a significant impact on the team. He said, quote, we're good. I trust the recruiting team. I trust our coaches. Please have some faith in me. We good. We all right. We all right. Please trust the recruiting team.
I guess the recruiting into the transfer portal team. He has a transfer portal team, but yeah, they do not
do it. Trust me. Who's doing the recruiting? The recruiting? What are you doing, man? You better get on it.
He's a promotion guy. They're filming him at all the team meetings and telling him all this stuff. Yeah, and then he goes out there and says, we're good. We're good. We're all right. Well numbers-wise, it doesn't look so great right now. And last year, like you said, wasn't even that good. And it was made worse, too, because they beat TCU in week one.
That
and
was
we were all still so unsure about TCU at that point. They're coming off national runners-up, but that seemed like a magical season. But we thought maybe still a good team. Wow, Colorado beat them. And then they won those next few games. And then basically the wheels came off.
Yeah, he went 1-8.
Not good.
He went 3-1, and then he won his first three games, and he went 1-8 the rest of the way to go 4-8. So he continues to get pressed by this. And now some of the, it's, I'm sure it's true that some of the players that left are not considered starters, but as Ryan Day has said many times over the course of the month of spring practice around here, we're going to play 16, 17 games. Now Coach Prime's not playing those 16 games, but he's got to play 12, and his kid got hurt and Travis Connor got hurt last year, and they weren't able to finish because they didn't have any depth. And that's when they got overwhelmed. Their front line talent, I think a lot of what you saw in the first month, Shedeur Sanders is pretty good. Travis Hunter is going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Like, they had some dudes who could play, but they didn't have the depth behind it.
Or the line play, too. That showed up, too.
Well, and then he fired the coordinator.
Well, he demoted the coordinator and brought Pat Shurmur in from like an analyst role to on-field offensive coordinator. Now, season.
Sean Lewis is at San Diego State?
Sure.
I think he is. Is he with Brady Hoke?
Isn't Brady Hoke retired?
Oh, Hoke retired there. That's right. That's
right. Took his headset with him. Wait a minute.
never been worn. Headset never worn.
Don't need it. All right. So here is Coach Prime talking about the portal and their activity in it.
We're good. I trust the recruiting team. I trust our coaches. And please have some faith in me. We're good. We all right. What happens with the portal, man, and you guys need to know, a lot of people are fighting for backups. When a guy's a starter and he transfers, you got to really think about that. I mean, is he really that? I don't know how many starters have really transferred around the country. I think we got some coming in from visits pretty soon, maybe even this weekend. But we can attract those type of players, but I don't think we're losing those type of players. And if we do, we're good. We're good. We're making a big deal out of nothing.
So, Coach,
God, I want to say so much stuff, but I can't. God, I want to say so much stuff. I keep remembering my head coach. Let's go.
Is he trying to allude that there's going to be some sort of windfall? But, like, yes, you are right. Starters are more important than backups. But you still need backups. So if all your backups transfer out and you're not interested in recruiting backups out of the portal, who's backing up your starters?
Here's the deal. This is where I'm at with this. I don't know if he's there beyond this year. And I think it's possible. His kid's going to go pro after this year. Travis Hunter's going to go pro after this year. To me, this feels like he's going to bail on this thing. Like, if he doesn't want to recruit high school kids now, and he's leaving it up to his recruiting team to put this together now, why would he do it when his kid isn't there? Why would he do it when Travis Hunter isn't there? What's his motivation? He has no ties to Colorado.
And at what point does...
He wants to grind? Do you think this is a guy who wants to go grind? Like, this is hard. Coaching college football right now, yes, compensated well. Harder than it's ever been. And more relentless than it's ever been.
And requires more hours and
more
days of the year than it ever has. And how long will Colorado? Yes, the bump has been amazing for them. And it probably is what led to them being kind of the main team to when they started to go to the Big 12. That led everybody else to the Big 12 because they were such a big headline this past season. But eventually, I think that this stuff will become a pain in the neck because he also seems to be skirting rules and not caring about how things are like actually done, like from an actual clerical standpoint. And I think that, like, you could cross the pain in the neck versus benefit line with Deion as your head coach.
Yeah. And it worked for them. They get the immediate bump. And Reese, we did that story a couple of months ago, how they had record enrollment applications, people trying to go to Colorado.
Like, it worked. He's their ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a situation where Colorado is going to be able to do any better than a guy like Deion Sanders as their head coach. It isn't like a guy's going to leave it like a Dan Lanning's going to go to Colorado.
No. Like they would have to.
They'll accept him as long as he's willing to do it. And my guess is they'd be even willing to allow him to transfer over to like a Herm Edwards type position where he's just there and they have an actual coaching staff.
The problem is they don't have money like that. They don't. And they don't to like put a staff. Isn't Warren Sapp on that staff now?
He's like a grad student.
For God's sake.
Oh, yes, he's a grad student. Yes.
Warren Sapp is a grad student in Boulder? What are Coach Prime and Warren Sapp doing in Boulder on a Tuesday in February?
Remember, Warren Sapp helps them build mansions. It's like, you guys don't, they don't get paid for their performance right now, Warren. No, I don't know how you help him build mansions.
It's going to be a fascinating watch, to say the least. Gene Smith was available yesterday. Good buddy Doug LaMaurice moderated an hour with Gene, and he was as candid as he's ever been on college athletics, what they spent on the Buckeye football team this year, NIL, all of it. It's really good stuff. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
An ex-jock and a very puffy, smooth-faced man. These are the first voices you should hear. Morning Juice.
Your wake-up service.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Friday. Gene Smith, an hour. Our guy, Doug LaMaurice, moderated. Wide array of topics. This happens at the end of a tenure, right? You look back, and because, you know, the haze in the barn is an old expression that we used to hear quite a bit out on the Ponderosa, and what that means is the work's done. It's done. And so you can look back on it and be more candid than you ever would be previously. And he was incredibly candid on a lot of these things. And Doug asked him a great deal of things. We'll ask Doug about it and some of his biggest takeaways coming up at 11:33. But in terms of Gene, there's a lot to get to here. So let's get right to it. One of the things that we've talked about is Ohio State with 36 sports and how long is this tenable? And it's something Ross Bjork's going to have to deal with. Obviously, Gene is not. Here is Gene on the new world of college athletics and the non-revenue sports and how they're affected.
The way I look at it now, I think it's going to have to be the expectations for the other sports. So we talked about today the fact that in the past we've always had like expectations for all of them to chase championships. Well, realistically, if you're not providing all those resources that we currently provide because you have to reduce their budgets in order to fund whatever comes at the top level, then you're going to, you know, you just got to change your expectations. And you know, my guess is we'll still sponsor 36 sports, but they will be sponsored different. X number will be sponsored at a different level of support, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And the reality of this is football is not going to be able to subsidize everything else going forward because it's going to have to subsidize itself. That's what that means, is it's going to have to pay for itself. So what Ohio State used to do, what not just Ohio, everybody, all the big programs, some of them just do it differently. Most of Ohio State's peers have 18 to 20 sports at best. I think the only one we found that was even in the, I mean, Stanford's not a peer. But Ohio State wants to be Stanford in everything else and then Alabama in football. And that's not the way it's going to work. We did this about a year ago.
With Texas, Bama, Alabama, Texas,
USC,
Georgia, maybe.
Georgia, they're all around between 16 and 20 is the amount of sports that they have. It's just not tenable. So I'm financially able to do it. And the reason for that is what I want to get to next. It's what Gene did in football this year. And this is as candid as you're going to get on him in terms of what he did to make sure 2024 the expectations have never been higher, and a lot of it is the amount of money that was spent.
Where's Ross? He's gone already. I probably put a significant burden on Ross with the budget because I was playing poker with football, went all in. You know, with where we are with football and not winning Big Ten championships, you know, I wanted to make sure that we did everything we could to make sure football has a real chance next year. And so when I think about my legacy, so to speak, I think about that. I hate to leave Ohio State when football is not back to winning Big Ten championships. So if that answers your question, I put a financial burden on Ross that he's got to balance the budget in the future because I just went berserk.
I went in with somebody else's money, and I'm not going to be here when the cards get flipped. It's a perfect bet.
He goes, I went berserk. And also, you guys remember the show we did when he used the line from the Ken Burns doc about Ohio State taking its other arm out behind its back, much as the North did in the Civil War, and saying, that's what we did. And what led to it is three straight losses to Michigan. What led to it is an inability to win the Big Ten in three straight seasons. And it was enough. They've had enough. And so, well, let's just see how powerful and big we can be. And so they went all in. And he pulled the other arm out from behind his back. And he threw all the money in. There's all of these numbers out there in terms of what Ohio State spent. We know what they spent on the staff because that's public record. But in terms of what Ohio State spent on the roster and all of those things, it was a lot of money. And it was enough. It was the idea of Michigan winning a national championship, not just beating you three times, but then winning a national championship, created a reaction of a bunch of money to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Man,
this is your athletic director saying that out loud.
And talking about what those numbers are, Ohio State was already spending the most on their assistant staff last year and increased it by $2 million in this one. A lot of that is because they added another $2 million coordinator in Chip Kelly and Jim Knowles on the defensive side. He already was making $2 million. Couple that with Ryan Day making $10-plus million. It's a $21 million coaching staff budget this year in 2024 for Ohio State.
I was having a conversation with an NFL circle earlier this week, and they said, wait a second, coordinators make $2 million in college football? Yeah, that's right. At the highest level, they do. They don't make that in the NFL. I promise you that. So in the NFL, of course, most head coaches call, a lot of the coaches call their own plays. So that's part of it too. But no, yeah, this is the world of it. Gene had a lot to say about NIL as well. And one of the things, that I thought was interesting, and we've talked about this before. Remember when you think about NIL and you think about collectives, the people that give to the collectives are the same people that give to an athletic department. And so they have to make decisions on where they want to use their money. So Doug asked him a very pointed question of, will the NIL contributions affect the facilities arms race? And how does that change? Because forever facilities were what mattered. We have to get better. I'll never forget. Alabama had a waterfall in their locker room.
Clemson has a water slide, I think.
They had the water slide. But this one was absolute. Alabama on a college game day tour had a waterfall in their facility, and the next football season, Urban had water falling in the facility. Like, it was like, oh, they got waterfall? We're going to get a waterfall. That's how quickly it worked. Here's Gene on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the semantics, right? So for us, you know, we weren't in an arms race. We were trying to just be functional. And so you guys go into Woody Hayes, and you see how beautiful it is. We're putting lipstick on it right now, right? But when I came in 05, we didn't have a recruiting department. We didn't have a creative services department. We didn't have the sports science people that we have. We didn't have all the modalities in the training room that we had. So we need more square footage, right? So that's practical. That's not like an arms race because Alabama's got it. That's just practical reality. We didn't have quality control assistants. I mean, we're using closets now, right now, for probably 8 or 9 people. You guys are in that building, so you see it. So we need more square footage. And so yes, we will stay in the facility, you know, renovation and expansion area. But for me, it was never an arms race.
Now it's going to be.
I don't believe him on that at all, by the way. And I think that's very interesting where he uses that line, we're putting lipstick, because when you hear we're putting lipstick, what follows?
Yeah, did you inherit a pig?
You need a new pig.
Shots at Andy Geiger?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. We're putting lipstick on it. So he's right. They have done about all that they can do. The other thing I would say with 05, when he talks about the recruiting staff and all of that stuff, that isn't 05 that happened. That's Urban. Urban is what demanded that.
Yeah, it wasn't
Urban
like brought Trestle
Pantone. No.
Came up with any of that.
No, that was Urban. And he brought Pantone, and that changed. Honestly, Mark Pantone, that position, that was something that didn't exist. Like, we never heard of that. This was when Urban first came here and I first met Mark. That's when I started calling him the ambassador of cool. 'Cause I'm like, what's this guy do? Oh, this dude is the general manager. They didn't call it that, but that's what he was doing at that time. Now he is the general manager, and it's rightfully so. And he's one of the most important people in the whole operation and one of the most important and powerful people in all of college football. But that was a position that didn't exist. That was something that Urban, Mark did that for him at Florida. Then they came up here and they did it here and they demanded it. That's what changed it.
Yeah.
That's what changed it. That was the instrument of that. As for the Woody, he's on it. But boy, what do you even do? Like, what footprint do you put it in? What do you do with it? I always think it's shameful when you see like how the grand offices that are out there, for these coaches in a lot of these places.
Yeah.
And then Ohio State's coach's office, like it's a little bit smaller, like there's no windows, like it's like at some point that's got to get changed a little bit. So they do need to do something about the Woody. He's right. They have put lipstick on it for a very, very long time. They've done a lot of good things. They put the garage doors on it. They got more natural light in it. It's still solid, but at the top of the sport, it's not anymore.
Yeah. And on the arms race point, he's either lying to us or lying to himself, because clearly it was an arms race. We saw that all
yes.
around the country. But it now sounds like they are approaching it a little bit more from, we just straight up need a better and bigger space for the football facility, because we just have too many employees now because of how much it's grown.
So that's where you start to get into that non-revenue sport conversation and the rest of it. All right, coming up next, one more thing I want to get to with Gene, and that is what he thinks is next with NIL. Plus, the NCAA in classic NCAA form acts like it does something in grand fashion, and it is completely hollow. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
And we are sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, fast, sustainable weight loss without medication. Solution for weight loss, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. One more from Gene. This is the one he's talking about what's next for NIL. Here is Gene on that.
I don't know that. That is one of the models that's been talked about. But we got to remember this is in the courts. So I just don't know what it's going to come out of. You know, hopefully we get some protections in the negotiations, or the judge, if it goes to trial, does that. But I think this is one where you really cannot see around the corner. There's been things in our past, you can see around the corner and kind of project. But this one, nobody can see around the corner on this one. Everybody, that's why you have five or six ideas like yours that's floating out there. Nobody knows.
Now, the problem here is this.
They did look around the corner.
They did look around the corner. They saw what was coming, and they chose to ignore it. That's it. No, you can't look around the corner on this now, although I think you can. I think we all know how it's going to go. But they did look around the corner. 10 years ago, they looked around the corner. I remember, was it the national championship game? I think it was the national championship game. That's what it is in my head in 14. I remember being at the press conference when Urban was fighting to get more money for travel for the players in the press conference. And it happened in short order. Like, they got more money quickly on that. I think within that bowl season, it was like, oh, yeah, this is a no-brainer. Instead of giving a stipend of this price, let's get a stipend of this price. Let's make this right. And they did it quickly. So this has been a decade plus in the making with NIL. I remember saying when AR and I were doing a show and going into Buckeye Corner and seeing all the number 5 jerseys and saying, I don't know if I'd sell 5. That feels like, because this is when Ed O'Bannon was happening.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're losing these battles left and right. Like, I probably wouldn't sell 5. I'd probably sell 1 in the number. Well, I'm not suggesting I deserve credit for it, but a lot of people were talking about that. So what started to happen? In 15, they sold the number 1 and they sold 15. It helped that it was Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
But the next year they sold 16. It helped that it was JT Barrett. The next year they sold 17. At the time it was Jalen Marshall. Then he opted out of it. The next year they sold 18. Tate Martell.
I never understood why Jalen Marshall wore 17 for like 2 or 3 years and then
it's kind
left
of a cool
it
number.
When no, it was gonna, I agree. Yeah, it's a unique number too. Not a ton of people wear 17.
It looks cool.
I've seen a lot of players switch out of 17 and I don't understand why. I think it's a cool number.
Yeah, but that's what they did is they sold 1 in the number and it was like, look, this was heading this way. So I think it's a little disingenuous of Gene to say you don't, because what, yes, you can't, it, he's, I shouldn't say disingenuous. He's right that you can't see what he can claim. He can't see what's coming. I think we all know it's coming. They are going to get no governmental help to curb this at all or get protections. None. So obviously pay for play, unions, all of that enough with the student athlete, that's the only way for them to get control. That's why Saban says it all the time. That's why we've had people say it all the time that are of record, and whose voice matters. That's what's coming. That's the only way to control it. But because they didn't look, because they looked around the corner a decade plus ago and ignored it, that's how they ended up in the spot they're in. Now, this part is pretty interesting. We had some fun with this. So he says, you know, Gene was saying there that, you know, hope we get a little bit of help. This is funny. Amanda Krstovich, who's a friend of the program. We talked about this yesterday. Reese, was this in Thing or Not a Thing or Three Things?
I think I had it in Three Things just because we had planned to talk about it, and then I just wanted to take another shot at the NCAA.
All right. So this was like headlines yesterday, and some of the people like Amanda who are on the – I would say that she's like on the front lines of this battle, and there's a couple of others that are.
It's like a beat that you would have never guessed would have existed in five years ago.
No. And I don't think all the people who ended up on it like took even similar routes to it. They just ended up getting to it from their various entities that they cover college football for, college sports.
For sure. And she came from a – because she was Wall Street Journal, and that background is what she came from it. More of a legal perspective, but there's other people who just covered college football and ended up covering it. So anyway, the NCAA trumpets this new rule. All right, so here's, I'm just going to read it straight. A new NCAA transfer rule will allow all undergraduate transfers, athletes to transfer and play immediately if they meet specific academic requirements as the Division I Council on Wednesday approved emergency legislation announced by the NCAA. The legislation will not limit the number of times an athlete can transfer, and there are still two transfer windows, but they can't transfer mid-year, play for a second school in the same season. Although the new rule is tied to academic progress, some in college athletics have expressed concern about the long-term implications for graduation rates. Good Lord. All right, so this is Amanda's tweet, and I think it's just perfect. And we sought her out a couple of years ago, and we were reading stuff from her. I just thought, God, she's really smart. Now she's on Feinbaum, like it's all happening. This is her tweet. Just a friendly reminder that the NCAA's latest proposed rule changes around the transfer portal are not new. Like, they're not even news. A federal court decision forced those exact changes months ago. It doesn't matter what rules the NCAA rewrites now. The law is clear.
Yeah, spot the lie. That seems pretty much accurate.
Like, come on.
There was a court case in West Virginia that did this, yes. And when they said that players can transfer as much as they want, the NCAA made a temporary rule because, well, we can't fight against a federal court's decision, and then eventually they just wrote the actual rule into it. And they keep playing it. It's like, well, now it has to go to the Board of Governors on Monday where it has to get approved. And all these are seen as formalities now, but they keep like listing it like, we still haven't done it. We're just lining it up. And it's like, you were forced to do it. Stop patting yourself on the back for doing something that your dad told you to do.
They don't even have the jurisdiction to do it anymore. It's over, man. You had it at one point. Someone more powerful than you has now taken the wheel. You can't drive anymore.
And they're not listening to you in the back seat either anymore.
They're not even in the car, man.
We're just going to go forward with this on our own and figure it out. And then the NCAA, sure, you can change your rules to match up with the laws of the country that you operate in. Yeah, you're going to have to. It's funny, too. A lot of those rulings, too, are not changing NCAA rules because NCAA rules aren't laws. They're NCAA rules. So most of the time when these changes are made, it's basically saying the NCAA can't punish you or require you to do something for doing this. That's what the court ruling actually is saying the NCAA cannot limit college athletes from transferring and participating immediately, and then the NCAA had to make that their rule. But it's not. It's weird when you look at it that way. The court rulings are not changing the NCAA rules. They are outlawing the NCAA from doing the repercussions of their rules.
It would be like if a local municipality said, for example, I don't know, top of mind, let's say you use marijuana. Let's say a local municipality said, we are not going to allow recreational marijuana in our town. And the United States government said, actually, there's a federal marijuana law that says it's legal. And they go, but now. And then later the municipality said, okay, now it's legal. And they trumpeted their big change.
After they got sued a few times for trying to punish somebody for having marijuana in their municipality.
You're irrelevant. It's irrelevant on that front. Gene did say something. I know we're up against it real quick. He did say something, and he talked about Charlie Baker going forward and how his role is going to have to be redefined and how there's a leadership vacuum at the top. One thing I'm going to ask Doug is, did you ask Gene if he felt he could have done more to prevent this spot because he was one of the most powerful people in the sport for a very, very, very long time. Second hour up next, Ryan Day and the need to win a national title. We'll get to it. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Producers, co-hosts, friends, some of those things are true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a Friday. Those who listen regularly know that I'm typically not a fan of black for black's sake uniforms. But I got to tell you, I think the Detroit Lions probably, with their unveiling yesterday, that's probably as perfectly as you can do uniforms in the NFL, in my humble opinion. So you get a modern version of the Barry Sanders. They go back to the Honolulu blue, which is gorgeous. You get a version of that. Remember, these leaked yesterday during our show. These leaked, except for one of them. So you get the modern version of that. You get an away uniform that's a version of that with the blue pants. You could obviously wear it with the white as well, all white. Then you get the famous ones that Barry wore in the 75th anniversary season in the NFL. This back in the 90s, they wore it. Barry was famous for wearing it, which is like the way throwback, just the silver hat, Honolulu blue, just plain nuts and bolts. They get a traditional throwback, and then they get this black thing, which is gorgeous. I'm not a huge fan usually of it, but they've worn it in their history. They wore it in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then they put a blue hat with it. And it's clean, man. It is really clean. So what you get is, from a delivering to the fan perspective, you get them what they want in the throwback. You get them a traditional look in the primary uniforms, home and away. And then you get them an iconic throwback. And then you get kind of a brand new look that you're going to wear once or twice. That's kind of a win. I think it's a model of what I think the Browns did that. I think the Bengals did that. There's others that have done that to which is a traditional look in a home and away, maybe a throwback to another era, and then a one-off. And I think they crushed it in this case with the Lions. My hunch is that part of the Broncos package that they're going to drop will be very well received, and that will be the throwback to the Elway look. That they will go with that one, but I don't know if their primary home and aways will be as enthusiastically received. And then I did see the leak of the Houston Texans. They blew it, baby. So they're going with the H-Town blue on one of their helmets, but the helmet, or with one of their looks, so the light blue, not Oilers blue, God forbid. But they went with a navy hat on it with a giant H. It looks absurd. And then Cal McNair, one thing I will give him credit for, like every time something leaks, he jumps in front of it. So like he had a tweet last night wearing a hat with the logo on it, but it feels like a missed opportunity to me on that one.
Oh, so it's like that calligraphy H? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, with a navy helmet.
Yeah. And
instead of a white helmet.
No.
They could have just done their home look, their regular look with light blue. I think that's all anybody wanted.
Yeah, light blue just looks so good. I'm glad that the Lions, I think the home and away ones are perfect. The darker ones, they're in some lightings, they look charcoal. In their like promotional video, it looks just straight black, but I hope it is more of that charcoal, color, because it's a little too close to just a Panthers uniform if it's just black. That's what the Panthers uniforms look like to me. And so you don't want two NFL teams that have such similar uniforms, but if it's that charcoal color, I can get behind it. But yeah, going back to the Barry Sanders look is there. I don't know. The Texans, to me, they just can't get right franchises as far as it comes to like logos and jerseys everything.
Yeah, because I think the thing everybody wanted was Oilers, and they can't have that. So they're stuck trying to make it work. Is what it seems.
Remember,
like
the University of Houston got in trouble for trying to do the Oilers uniforms.
Can't have that blue.
I love the idea that the Adams family, which used to own the Oilers and owns the Titans, I love the idea that they own all shades of light blue. Like, nobody can use light blue except them.
I don't even understand the process of, like, copywriting a color. Like, I know you can do it, but the more I think about it, I'm like, how?
Well,
like, do you have to invent the color?
Do you guys remember when Michigan went to Adidas?
And they couldn't use maize. Their yellow was way too...
Nike owned that shade of yellow.
Yeah.
That maize yellow. So they had to wear, like, at times it was like a highlighter yellow. But it's because Nike owned that Pantone of yellow, the maize.
I don't understand how you can own a color.
I don't either.
Are colors kind of naturally occurring things that just exist? Well, can I own oxygen?
You cannot own oxygen unless you make it your own specific type of oxygen.
There you go.
What's interesting, though, is like the green. We talked about this with the Masters. That Masters green is also Starbucks and John Deere. So that green you'd think would have been owned by somebody at some point. But John Deere probably would have been the one to own it. If anyone's going to own that green, it would have been them, right?
The word "the" would like to have a word.
Yeah, I guess you can.
Well played.
Articles, the most used words in the English language, are copywritten.
That charcoal that the Detroit Lions have looks, it reminds me of the anthracite that Ohio State Hoops has. Yeah. And it's like, in some lights, you're just wearing a black uniform.
Yeah. The blue, I think that the contrast with that Honolulu blue is really nice. Do the Panthers have a blue helmet, or they have black and silver, right? I don't think they have
one. Yeah, I think they always wear the silver cap. Maybe they've had a blue helmet at some point, but it's not consistent.
Yeah. All right, speaking of the, we spent the better part of spring football talking with Ryan Day, and anytime he talked about the roster or transfers or quarterbacks, and by the way, quiet week for them on that front, right? I mean, none of the quarterbacks in there, so everyone's hanging around. Now, they
still
have until
spring
the 30th.
Games this weekend, too, which is
right.
a factor.
You have until the 30th to get it sorted out if you want to jump into that thing. But nothing at this point. Last time we heard from Ryan and Chip, it was like, we're going to have some real conversations and let people know where they stood. Those were going to happen on Sunday and Monday, and then we would go from there. So they haven't had anybody jump in. I think one of the reasons that Ryan Day talks so often about a 16 and 17 game season is because he's saying, look, we need all the depth. Remember, they convinced Quinshon Judkins to come here, and I think rightly so. I don't think they're lying about that. I think it is the real truth, because they need two stud backs to play the way that they want to play, because they're going to play a lot of games. But when you keep saying we're going to play 16 and 17 games, and your athletic director saying we went berserk with football, with that comes the type of pressure that, boy, I don't know when anyone's ever had this type of pressure around here, being the head coach. The amount of pressure that Ryan Day is under, probably you'd have to go back to Coop. Coop probably felt that pressure for much of the 90s with those teams, because you looked at the talent and you said, good Lord, if not this year, when? Ryan is approaching that, and it's probably not a coincidence that both Coop and now Ryan had not had the success that is expected in the Michigan game. And with that, for Ryan comes an inability to win the Big Ten championship, which his athletic director said yesterday is a problem. And so they invested bigly. He is clearly the answer to the question, which college football coach is under the most pressure to win a national championship? No doubt. There's no doubt. The roster's set. The money has been spent. And with that comes a weight. It's a tremendous weight. And I think that probably one of the things that we've talked about, but maybe not given the proper attention to, or maybe not enough attention to, probably the better way to say it, is the hiring of Chip Kelly. And not only just from an offensive standpoint, play calling standpoint, quarterback evaluation standpoint, he has a mentor and a friend in the building now. And so you can now deviate the pressure on you and share it with somebody else. Is the pressure on Chip? No, not at all. The pressure's on Ryan. But he now has a confidant in the building that he trusts completely, who he can rely upon offensively. There isn't anybody else in the country in the vicinity. You start thinking, what other programs need to win a national championship? I don't even know what you would say. Like, if Lincoln Riley was still at Oklahoma, you would say that. I think there's a decent amount of pressure on Riley at USC he's going into year three. He's had a Heisman winner. That Heisman winner left. Malachi Nelson's gone, who was the five-star QB they recruited behind him.
Miller Moss.
Maybe Miller Moss needs to show you something. I saw people say Dan Lanning's under no pressure. Oregon doesn't demand national championships.
They love that they have Dan Lanning. The fact that he turned his nose up to Alabama and said, no, I'm here. That's perfect for them.
No, I think Kalen DeBoer's under a pretty decent amount of pressure.
Yeah, but they've got years. There's three that you mentioned all have varying years. Ryan has months.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Well, and none of the other coaches are going into this season with the expectation that, like, you are a favorite for the national title. Like, those other teams that you listed could win it, but USC is not in a position where everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm penciling them in as the national championship, which is what's going on with Ohio State, and that puts that pressure. I think for Ryan Day, he needs to do one of these two things. Both of them would be, you know, everything that you would want to get people off the back of, like, can he actually get this done? He either needs to beat Michigan and make the Final Four, I think. I don't think that just making the 12-team playoff is seen as the same thing, but either beat Michigan and make the Final Four or win the national championship. Because I think winning the national championship
would
covers up the Michigan thing enough that you're not going to fire the guy after he wins the national championship.
Well, they almost did that 2 years ago, you know, when they almost beat Georgia.
Right.
Like, oddly, like, the loss to Georgia, the way that they lost, almost alleviated the fact that you lost to Michigan.
The last 2 years, Ohio State has only lost to the last two national champions.
Yeah, that's it. I was just thinking, to me... there are two guys at big-time programs that are under the most. Ryan would be first, and then I think it's a little bit of a dip. But I think Venables is second on the list. And we had Feinbaum on yesterday. He talked about that as well with Venables. I think Oklahoma is in a spot where, not in a sense that he has to win the national title, but if they fall off a cliff, if they're not ready for the SEC, then they will. And I think they are aggressive enough that they would make a change now. I don't think they would let it bleed out. You know, down the road at all. So I think he's under a great deal of pressure. I wonder if Marcus is under some pressure at Notre Dame. I would think not like, hey, win or get fired, but like, I don't know that he can go 8-4 again.
I think it's make the 12-team field for him. I think that because there's no conference championship. What you're talking about too is something that we've talked about with, why did all these Ohio State players want to come back? One, they saw the opportunity of how good this team was going to be. But I think a lot of guys in that senior class going into this season, they want to have something that they can put in the Woody and go back to and say, look, we won that. And that's what I think you're looking at is Notre Dame doesn't have a chance to win a national or a conference championship. So I think at least making the playoff is where you have to go.
Brian Kelly, LSU, or does the Heisman give him a buffer, Reese?
They got play. Make the playoff. Make a run in the playoff. I'll even say for all of these, don't get housed in your first round playoff matchup. Make some noise in this new expanded format. But none of them have quite the pressure now to win the thing. I think there's, of anybody, Ryan Day has the pressure to win the thing. I don't know if Final Four does it.
How many schools slash coaches should automatically have the expectation to make the 12-team field, and is that number larger than 12?
It is.
And then what that conversation going to look like at the end of the season?
Just do it. We'll do it coming up next. We're up against it a little. We'll do it coming up next. I bet there's a list of 14 schools where let's go 15. We like whole, you know, like round numbers like that, like 15. I bet I can come up with 15 teams that the expectation from the fan base, the athletic director, and the coaches make the playoff. That would be my guess on what the number is. Plus an interesting law passing in Virginia and a big time player hitting the portal that was part of the NIL conversation way back at the beginning. It's all coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
And Bo here for my great friends at RCD RV. When you want to get away this summer, no better solution than hitting the open roads in an RV from RCD. Under the stars, fresh mountain air, away from it all. It can all be yours. The journey starts at RCD RV. RCD has RVs to meet every budget. They have new campers as low as $13,995. You go on the lot, you feel like you're walking into family. It'll be that way as long as you have the thing. Past purchase, long past. They're going to take care of you. They're Toronto's best selection of pre-owned travel trailers, fifth wheelers, motorhomes. They got it. Three locations to serve you in Central Ohio. or online anytime at rcdrb.com. All right, so the question was fan bases that expect to make the playoff and administrations, and I think a lot of times those things are linked. So I didn't put anybody in the old, I guess it's still the group of five. I didn't put anybody from there that expected. I think any of them make it, it's house money. One of them will make it,
yeah,
but it'll be house money. I don't think anybody in any of those schools is like, if we don't make it, man, we're firing coach.
Well, right now there's not a UC or UCF in there anyways because those teams jumped
up.
So
they're done.
Yeah.
All right. I think the only team in the Big 12 that has a, yeah, we're going to make the playoff is Utah.
That was the team I thought of.
They expect to make it. Okay, so that's one.
But is there? I was a little split because I was like, well, Big 12 kind of has to be counted because they're going to take one of the spots. And Utah, I think, is the best and the most like, oh, Cam Risen's coming back. Does Oklahoma State have any of that, or is Gundy completely safe forever?
I think he's safe forever.
Somebody has to make it from the Big 12, though, and who is it going to be?
Well, Coach Prime says he's fine.
Coach Prime's fine.
So they're good. So yeah, that should be them, right?
I would say it's. I think it's only Utah. I don't think, yeah, I mean, someone is going to make hay out of that conference because the path has never been easier.
Yeah.
No Oklahoma, no Texas, it's never been easier. So, but I think Utah's the only one that really expects it. Notre Dame expects it.
Yep.
So that's why we brought up Marcus. So that's two. All right, out of the Big Ten, well, I'll do the SEC first. These are the ones that I think expect it. Bama, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Tennessee.
I had Florida over Tennessee. I know Tennessee is better right now, but I think Florida's fan base is a little bit more rabid on expectations in that sense.
They're both nuts. The one thing I will say about Florida is he just landed a five-star quarterback that had a really good spring game.
So okay, I think so he might be safe.
A little,
okay.
That might get a little – they might want to see him play. Any others you would add to that, Reese? From the SEC?
No, I'd even think Florida just probably has to go above 500 in conference play right now before they're thinking a playoff.
Yeah, and that kid, if that kid flashes a little bit.
This is the same fan base, though, that tried to say Kyle Trask after picking up his third or fourth loss in the SEC title game in the pandemic year should be in the playoff.
They're as delusional as A&M as the rest. They're all, that's SEC.
I'm just like, if we're talking about heat on Billy Napier's seat.
Yeah, I think the quarterback helps him. So we're in pretty close alignment on that, but that's the number. ACC, I think it's only Florida State, Clemson, and Miami that are like, we got to go.
And I'm not even 100% sure on Miami.
They're paying Cristobal a lot.
Yeah.
I think Miami has more of a, you better do something, dude, than even Clemson.
Because Miami Clemson will move off the coach. They've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah, so I think those three, all of the fan bases, all of the administrations are like, yeah, we better make the playoff. This is what I think is interesting. In the Big Ten, I only wrote down four. The four I wrote down are Ohio State, obviously, Oregon, Penn State, and USC. I don't think Sharon Moore has any pressure.
None.
To make the playoff. I don't think that they have I think their house, they're like, swimming in gold coins. We've won it all. I think he could have, I think he'll go 8-4. I think he's fine. I don't think they have a demand at all. They have all of the flowers.
Yeah, it would take
you with me on that, Reese?
It would take a sub 500 season, in my opinion, for Michigan to feel any type of way about Sharon right now.
I wrote down Michigan, but I didn't
write
down Miami. So I'm okay with flipping those two as well, because I think Miami, yeah, is in a much more, like you guys said, a much bigger position of, hey, get it together now, whereas Michigan, they don't have that going into this season or even during the season.
Like, Sharon, I think, has 2 years of just existing because I think you do want to wait and see what the NCAA does before you decide, okay, what's our future going to look like as a football program?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they kind of done it, you know?
They won.
Like they did it. They won. We got our flowers. We're good. So by my count, I'm at 16. That have a feeling of, we better make the playoff.
So five of those won't make it because a group of five will have one of the spots.
Yeah. Yes. So at least five of them won't make it. So you're going to have five fan bases that are pretty upset with the way that this... If I were a betting man, and I am sometimes with our great friends at Tipico, the ones that I would say, if you had to pick not making it off of this list, I would go Tennessee, Oklahoma.
Clemson.
Yeah.
Penn State,
USC. Does that get us there?
Oklahoma as well.
I said OU, Tennessee, Clemson,
Penn State is
Penn
four.
State, USC.
USC is
and
five.
I think Miami's, but Florida State's got to do a complete rebuild too. I mean, they've got to rebuild on the fly. But it's a lot. Who expected? Speaking of, teams that are in a rush trying to put teams together, Jaden Rashada is in the portal. Now, you'll recall, he's the kid who, this centered on the Florida NIL fund. And the idea, what was the numbers?
$13 million was the reported number. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then the idea was, Florida actually wasn't going to do that. And they didn't have $13 million to pay a 17-year-old kid. And so he then went to Arizona State. He threw for 485 yards, four touchdowns, three picks. And now he is in the portal. Now, remember the last Arizona State quarterback of high regard who went in the portal was Jaden Daniels. That worked out quite well. So this kid will go to the top of the list. But this late, it's so strange. Like, a quarterback of this regard who probably wants to start, where are their starting spots available?
Well, you haven't seen who's hottest on him right now, right? Or who have is? You? Georgia.
No. Georgia? Well, so that makes perfect sense.
He's got four years left. Yeah.
Correct. So he could go to Georgia, sit behind Carson Beck for a year, and then take it over after that, right? I mean, that would be the roadmap.
I think it's funny, too, how coaches are such live by the portal, die by the portal, because you get this... To me, strange comment from Kenny Dillingham. Maybe he does actually like the guy, but the head coach at Arizona State says someone will be getting an elite talent and a great person will always be rooting for you. And it's just like, it just seems so weird for, like, I think a coach is fine to say nothing. Like, I don't think you should trash the kid going out, but I think they all want to show that they're embracing the portal and they are okay with kids coming in and coming out and they want to seem like they're cool with that. But it comes off as just a weird tweet from a coach.
You should have just been like, yeah, that kid sucked. Good riddance.
Yeah, I think what they want to do right now, it's almost like how an NFL team sometimes, how they treat players, because you want the rest of the NFLPA to think well of you.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like that. That's kind of what I think the portal is a little bit. One other thing, this from Dan Murphy, schools in Virginia are going to be able to directly pay athletes via name, image, and likeness, thanks to a state law that was signed Thursday. Mark, I mean, this is just... The laws are moving faster than anyone can react to them. The new law, which is scheduled to take effect in July, first of any state to make it illegal for the NCAA to punish a school for compensating athletes for their NIL rights. Current NCAA rules prohibit schools from signing NIL deals with their own players. The law could either give Virginia schools a significant recruiting advantage or provide a catalyst for similar changes elsewhere. It's the last line that would be the one that would get my attention. Will other states follow suit? And now you have professional sports.
It's really interesting, too, because you had the University of Virginia athletic director Carla Williams talking on it, and this isn't her quote, but her quote's at the end. The law explicitly states that athletes should not be considered employees of their schools in Virginia, but schools in Virginia are still allowed to pay athletes for their performance in a sport, but starting this summer, they will be able to use university or athletic department funds to pay athletes for appearing in marketing campaigns. So still can't pay for performance, but marketing campaigns. Williams, the athletic director at Virginia, says, maybe a distinction without a difference, but there's a distinction there.
That's a great line. Maybe a distinction without a difference, but there's a distinction there. There, in fact, is not. It's like the narrative from what the hell was the show that was on with
Arrested Development?
Yeah, George Bluth. My man Bluth. That was it. Yeah, a little bit like that. You like the narrator. It was not. Tim May coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Your morning just got beefier. Morning Juice with Beamer, Bobby, and Shark.
Weekdays from 6 to 9.
The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
10:30 on a Friday, we always talk to our good buddy Tim May, Letterman Row, Brian Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. It's been 6 days. You've had some time to think about it. You were number one, and please.
Oh, I thought you told me paying my taxes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that wasn't six. That was 4 days. I mean, unless you were.
Well, no, but I did them. I did them early this year. I did them on the 11th.
There you go. All right, so it's been a little more than that. Six days ago, we had the spring game. You've had 6 days to think about it. What is your number one and only one takeaway?
I wrote about it right after the game the next day. I like the way the cornerbacks not only looked, I like their attitude. I like the way they attacked the game. I like the way they looked at the marquee that said, ladies and gentlemen, the unveiling of Jeremiah Smith and Will Howard and Julian Sayin and right on down the line. And the cornerbacks came to play that day. And Davison Igbinosin was just playing on another level as I watched him. Denzel Burke, yeah, these guys are going to give up some passes because that's what passing attacks do. But the depth, I mean, my man, I call him my man because I like to say Waxahachie, but Calvin Simpson Hunt from Waxahachie, Texas, had his reel, in my opinion, kind of coming out, just showing the depth of the cornerback room, which is so vital for a Jim Knowles defense to really spread its wings and do things and mess with the quarterback's head with the other nine guys. That's what stood out to me as much as anything.
So there's a Waxahachie, Texas, and a Wewahitchka, Florida.
There you go. Nacogdoches, Texas, which is right the road from Lufkin, which played their annual. Stephen F. Austin from Nacogdoches always used to play Northwestern Louisiana from Nacogdoches, Louisiana.
So that's great. That's fantastic.
You can go on and on.
There's a lot of them. Does this, I think, everybody, because, quarterback's the most important position in all of sports. We talk about that a lot. But the one thing that I kind of took away from it, it kind of goes with what you've took away from. And that was, to me, this looks like, and Urban said it on the broadcast, maybe the most talented defense that we've seen since when? 15?
Yeah, maybe. But, nineteen was a pretty damn good defense, But this one just appears, from my vantage point, appears deeper and more, to a certain extent, more thorough. Because, Bo, do not discount Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau returning to the front. I mean, no. Ty Hamilton is back. Tyleek Williams, who can be, I think you could put him in an argument, would be as good as any defensive tackle in the country this year in terms of effectiveness based on how much he has to play, meaning if they can spell him a little, and keep him fresh, he's one of those attack individuals. I keep thinking, you don't look behind backwards too much, but if Michael Hall had come back, oh, my goodness, it'd been unbelievable. And then they got some guys rising in that area. And Mitchell Melton, the guy that Jim Knowles identified as that Leo kind of player when he first showed up 3 years ago. I'm talking about when Jim Knowles did from Oklahoma State. And then, injuries have kept Mitchell Melton on the side. Now he's pretty much but a defensive end, but he is just an all-around marauder. He looks like a 260-pound version of his 230-pound self in high school. And I invite people to go back and watch his highlights. That guy was all over the field at a really good high school and making plays back in Maryland. So, I mean, there are all kinds of things that point to this, not only being a good defense, but a deep defense. They could throw a lot of things at you with the win. The only really – if there's a question mark about this defense, in my opinion, because I think Lathan Ransom's going to come back strong in the fall when, it's when the klaxon goes off, but is maybe depth, deep depth as opposed to no depth.
Depth
at linebacker. I think the three they can put out there if they want to go to a three-man look is pretty interesting, but who are the guys after that is the big question.
The flip side of that coin is the offensive side of it. And yes, we were all wanting to see the quarterbacks. Ryan had that press conference today, a couple of days before, about Julian Sayin and how great he's looked. And so let's kind of get our first look at him. No one was particularly sharp. Is that an overstatement? What did you make of the quarterbacks? What do you make of the fact that it's April 19th and five of them are still here?
I take all spring games, or whatever you want to call them now, spring scrimmages, with a grain of salt in all kinds of ways, especially at the quarterback position. After watching Justin Fields put on the opposite of a show way back when, and then showing what he was about in the fall. It's very difficult to get some continuity going there, you know, consistency going. Although, you know, if you look at the quarterback's completion percentage, you know, it was pretty good. I mean, especially Devin Brown. I mean, he had a game, but the play that stood out for me with Devin Brown, for example, is when he decided to keep and run up the middle. I've never seen him run that fast. I mean, there was a play where he just went 20 yards in a heartbeat, and I'm just going, wow. So, you know, as I've been saying all along, I'm not going to beat a dead horse here, but Devin Brown is not out of this competition at all. What was telling to a certain extent was that Will Howard got the first shot, I think, with the number one offense. But I think they've got two guys that will be at least adequate. You know, do they have that superstar at quarterback yet? I don't think so. And Julian Sayin, just when we all wanted to see him put on a show as a freshman, he had kind of an average outing and had some problems, especially in the middle of it. But, you know, you don't judge these guys. They're judging them over 15 practices. But like we've talked about all along in the final analysis, if they started a game tomorrow, it would probably be Will Howard because he started for pretty much off and on the last 2 years at Kansas State, whereas Devin Brown started one game.
There's a PTSD with the fan base, right, with this, like because of what happened a little bit last year. I mean, you and I have talked about that ad nauseum, but do you think it is important for – is there a practice date in your mind next fall? Because I think you nailed it, that if they were playing a game, Will Howard would start. I think no question. So then the question becomes, how long do you let that – is there a balancing act of how long do you let that competition go versus – I need one of these guys 10 feet tall and bulletproof by the time we get now to Oregon. You don't need it the first month, but I don't think he wants to be rotating starts in September again, do you?
I don't know if rotating starts is the right way of putting it. I think Ryan Day wants to play three quarterbacks in those first several games because he's stated it publicly. He thinks you're going to need that for the kind of run that they want to take. I mean, they're not shy about saying they want to play at least 16 games this year. You know what I mean? As Gene Smith put it so eloquently, you know, he's pushed all the chips into the middle of the table with the football team this year, you know, with the amount they're paying their two coordinators and right on down and the amount they paid to maybe keep a few coaches and then right on down the line with the NIL and stuff. But you got to develop quarterbacks. I mean, I thought that was a failing last year of not playing Devin Brown more earlier in the year. Then they finally figured out a role. But see, the problem was with Cal McCord, you weren't jumping out and getting these big leads like you're used to either, Bo. Because as Brian also says, the number one focus every Saturday is win the game. And then if that happens, you put the game away, then you do some other things. But I think you need to put guys in when the game's in jeopardy, if you trust them. To put them in jeopardy and let them learn on the fly because you never know who's going to emerge. So to answer your question, I think it's important to know who your starter is going to be in the opening game sooner rather than later. But that doesn't discount the fact you want to play at least two more guys as you prep. And really, what was interesting was watching Aaron Noland, who we've given short shrift to through the.
They have two, Tim. To be fair, like they, you know, they've given him that too. He's definitely fit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Not just us,
But Ben, he led two straight touchdown drives. And who's he in there with? But who's he going against, right? But he led two straight touchdown drives. And my friend, Ryan Day, his big problem with Cal McCord last year was they didn't score touchdowns in great amounts, as you well know, and left games in jeopardy that didn't need to be necessarily. And so, you know, you take the team to the end zone enough times, even in practice, you're going to get a heck of a lot more of a look. I mean, Lincoln Keynotes, in my opinion, had a tough scrimmage, you know, with the interceptions he threw. So it's very interesting, that quarterback room right now. None of them, at least as we speak, I don't think, has stepped into the portal.
No, not yet.
And so that's very interesting also at this point.
It really is. It's going to be a fascinating next week or so as the portal finally closes on the 30th. Good talking to you as always, my friend.
You know, it's always a pleasure talking with you, Bo. And by the way, heart goes out to our good good friend Dom DeBerry losing his mother earlier this week, and my friend Matt Wilhelm almost the same day. It was those are tough to go through, as you well know. But my heart goes out to Dom DeBerry, one of my great friends.
Yeah, one of the great guys ever. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
You got it, Bo.
All right, thing or not a thing coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Apex Plumbing Pros.
Earlier this week, we had Steve Kerr on Clay Thompson. Here's the end of his over 4 minutes talking about Draymond Green and his future with the Warriors.
If you want to embrace the fact that Draymond is this insane competitor who is just going to play with so much emotion and passion, which makes our team so much better, then you kind of have to accept, all right, he's going to get kicked out a few games a year. That's my approach. The other stuff can't happen. You know, the physical acts, that will cost him his career, not only in the NBA, but beyond, the next career. And he knows that. And so that's, you know, Draymond's complex. His relationship with our franchise is complex. But at the core of it is a deep loyalty and passion and love. And we share that with him. And that's really tricky to reconcile. So you almost don't even try to reconcile it. You help him through it, and you make sure he's the best version of himself. And you keep pushing.
Thing or not a thing?
Yeah. So, you know, he's it's that thing we always talk about, that pain in the neck value you bring. He's probably reaching close to that level of that. They have some interesting decisions with him and Clay. He's a free agent too, right, Draymond? I think both him and Clay have an ability to. I know Clay is, but I think Dre is too. I could see Draymond in the Lakers, honestly, with LeBron. He's tight with LeBron. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But look, it's tough. It's tough to end dynasties gracefully. That's why Phil Jackson said when that he didn't want to coach Kobe in the end, because I didn't want to coach him when he wasn't as good as he is, because it's tough, and it ends kind of poorly. And those last Lakers years with Kobe were brutal. They paid him a lot of money, and the franchise went down the tank.
Draymond's got one more year left, and then the next season would be a player option in 2026.
Oh, so he's got two.
So he's got 2 years. Yeah, first year of a 4-year deal where
he signed an extension.
No one's trading for him, so he'll be a Warrior.
So I did wonder about that, because as of right now, he'll be a Warrior. The only team that would maybe make a move, and that would depend on how their postseason goes, to the Lakers. To your point, because Draymond's so toxic and so volatile, and it's only because he's built that camaraderie with the guys on this current Warriors roster that it's managed to work out at all, because he's a psychopath.
There's a like a Bill Romanowski. There's an old one.
It only really works on the team that you're on. If you try to go anywhere else, everyone's like, no, not this guy.
When you're one of those guys who's a pain in the neck, like it's you're like an immediate culture tornado, and then it's like wears out. And they've had, I think the fact that Steph's there and Clay's there and Kerr's there has allowed for it to work this long.
Because anybody else in a position like Kerr's isn't saying all of that only to say what he said on the back end. Like Kerr did a minute on that. Yeah. Like you said, Chops, did 4 minutes. Yeah. On Draymond Green. Nobody else is doing that, because nobody else would actually put up with this, but they've done so much winning, and Green's been a part of that. Is the only reason he's got cachet, and it's the only team where that would actually work out at. So no, he'll be a Warrior for a while. On Thursday, a judge in Kentucky denied a request for an injunction that would have allowed a Bob Baffert-trained horse to enter the Kentucky Derby. Baffert was hit with an indefinite suspension in 2021 after his horse Medina Spirit tested positive for a banned substance. The horse in question this year, Muth, won the Arkansas Derby and is owned by Saudi businessman Amer Zedan. It's Muth or Muth. It was Zedan that filed suit against Churchill Downs requesting the injunction. The judge's decision stated Churchill Downs never expressly said in any press release, news conference, or court filing that Bob Baffert would be reinstated for the 2024 Derby. The initial June 2021 statement indicates a more wait-and-see approach to Mr. Baffert's suspension. Churchill Downs then released a statement. We are pleased with the court's decision today and believe Mr. Zedan may suffer from a case of Derby fever, which is known to spread with exposure to horses and is contagious this time of the year. That's symptoms funny. Can contribute to questionable judgment and in extreme cases can result in litigious behavior. There is no known cure. Nevertheless, we have communicated clearly about the rules of entry, which are the same for everyone and are non-negotiable. Contenders cannot sue their way into the Kentucky Derby. End quote. Thing or not a thing?
That's the greatest statement in the probably last couple years. An official statement. I think that's probably as funny and straightforward a thing as we've done. That's fantastic. So, look, I understand a great deal of our audience probably isn't locked into to horse training and all of that, and you watch the Derby, and then that's it. But Baffert's the most successful trainer maybe ever, and he's out of the Derby again. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal in that world, for sure. But that's the thing. Here's the statement. The statement's perfect.
Yeah, and then the other part that off the beginning that like reminds me, like, you guys had to know how this was going to go. We always talk about how that district court in New York, the Southern District Court, is where the NFL likes to do all of their stuff. Well, this is a judge in Kentucky, and Bob Baffert has been blacklisted and with a horse that's being bankrolled by a Saudi businessman versus the Derby in a Kentucky court.
No.
There was no way you were going to win, ever. It was already lost before the beginning of it. Adam Rittenberg passing this along. As expected, Notre Dame QB Riley Leonard is among those out for Saturday's spring game as he continues to rehab his ankle. QB Steve Angeli, who has taken most of the snaps this spring, will wear a red no-contact jersey while QBs Kenny Minchie and CJ Carr will be hit in the game. That's the end of his tweet. Adding from me, Marcus Freeman said Leonard would be out the next few weeks in late March following a procedure on the signal caller's right ankle to, quote, address a stress fracture that was beginning to develop. Remember, Leonard hurt his ankle at Duke last year. Thing or not a thing?
Well, I'm going to say not a thing now. It'll be a big thing next fall if Riley Leonard can't go. Because I do think there is, not pressure on Marcus, but I do think there is, we sure he can handle this? Done okay. It's impressive. But, let's get 10, 11 wins, and they got. So if he can't go, then I think it's tough because, they tried it last year. Now they're trying it again this year on the transfer front.
Did you say they're letting him hit the quarterback?
The third and fourth team quarterbacks, not the second team guy.
That's a great point, Reese. Good pickup on you. Why would you let them hit CJ Carr?
Like, toughen them up because they got to be tough. They're football players.
But that's the biggest thing for me. No, Riley Leonard's, got an ankle injury that's going to inhibit him for likely the rest of his athletic career.
Yeah.
With how violent that thing was at the end of the midway point of last season. Like, that just doesn't heal. It probably doesn't heal properly ever.
Yeah.
Real quick, on Thursday evening, the owner of the Utah Jazz and now new owner of the NHL's Salt Lake City-based franchise, Ryan Smith, tweeted, "Wow! Over 6,000 season ticket deposits in the first 2 hours. Utah is amazing." So Ryan Smith paid $1.2 billion for the Coyotes and its existing hockey assets from Alex Marullo. Marullo had owned the Coyotes since buying the franchise for $300 million in 2019, but the league lost patience in his ability to find a long-term arena solution to Arizona and facilitated the sale. The Smiths initially built a relationship with Commissioner Gary Bettman because they wanted an expansion franchise. However, over the past several months, the conversation changed and Bettman approached the Smiths about becoming a solution for the Coyotes instead. Thing or not a thing?
It's all a thing. I want to expand on it. It'll be among the things we expand upon coming up next in What We Learn. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip.
And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable. and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Final hour here on a Friday. Doug Lemreese coming up at 11:33. He moderated that 1 hour with Gene Smith. We'll talk to you a little bit about that. Coming up here at 11:33, time for What We Learned.
We're not trying to do too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present What We've Learned This Week.
All right, the number one thing is that you can sell an NHL franchise. Well, it's not the number one thing, but it's fascinating to me. And Reese brought it up in Thing or Not a Thing, and so I wanted to expand about it. You can buy and sell an NHL franchise without talking to the two people who are the primary buyers and sellers, because that's what happened in Arizona this week. It also happened in really short order. It happened in about a week that this thing got put together. It got leaked out, and then it was finalized by the end of the week and done. And so they are moving to Utah. The other thing we learned is our thought was, well, that they would have to be the Utah Coyotes, and then we learned that actually, despite failures of 20 plus years, Bettman can't quit the desert. And so if this guy, this Alex Murillo guy, can build an arena in the Valley of the Sun in the next 5 years, he can have his franchise back. So pretty good deal for him, right? He bought something for $300 million, he sold it for $1.2 billion. Now I guess it would be an expansion franchise.
So he'd probably have to pay
$1 billion fee, but he's got to build an arena, something that no one's been able to do out there in 15 years. So I'm quite pessimistic that it'll actually happen. Meantime, Ryan Smith, who's the new owner, he's the guy who wears the backward hats, who owns the Utah Jazz as well. He said that the new franchise will just be called Utah for the first year, and they will not be Salt Lake City. So they will be Utah. It'll be the first year. They're just going to have Utah on their sweater, and then they will look to have a brand for year two.
They did make some applications were filed with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Greg Wyshynski, one of the people with this. The Utah Blizzard, the Utah Venom, the Utah Fury. Hey, we got Columbus Fury professional volleyball here. You can't have that one. Utah HC and Utah Hockey Club. So those ones kind of go together.
Just be the Utah hockey team. Hey, what's this? A Utah hockey team.
It's a Utah hockey team.
I don't mind it. Washington football team grew on me, so I'd be willing to give it a chance when only one team is it. When one team says we're the hockey club or we're the hockey team, I can deal with that the same way I did with football team. But it's when it doesn't become special like in the MLS now when you throw those in there.
Every one of those suck.
Yeah, none
Blizzard,
of those are good.
Blizzard, Venom, Fury, that all sucks.
And what are they going to be? Like, why are they all, like, things, like, inanimate? I mean, a Blizzard moves, but, you know, they're not animals. So, like, what is the logo? What does it
Go
look
Blizz.
Like?
I mean, come on. What are
Utah
we
Hive was one that I saw thrown around that sounded pretty cool because it's the Beehive State, so there's play in there. I mean, nothing makes less sense than something like the Columbus Blue Jackets, so I guess... You know, whatever.
At least we contributed to the people who wore blue jackets.
But the problem was, is when you launched the franchise, you had a bumblebee.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's...
So everyone's like, well, wait a second.
Just bring back the phallic cannon.
I've told you this before. What was that thing's name?
Boomer.
That's Boomer.
Boomer, yeah. I said that I wasn't in the market at the time of the launch. I legitimately thought the state of Ohio had a form of bumblebee that was in some shade of blue.
I think Freeze said the same thing when he like first got here on campus,
we thought
too.
That, he and I talked about it. We're like, I really thought that they just had a wild form of bee or hornet that nobody else on the planet had. And it really wasn't until I got here that I realized that, and then I was like, oh, this actually has to do with the Civil War, and that's actually what it has to do. I think if they probably would have, probably would have been better if they were blue coats. Then I think you get, and then if you don't have the bee, then it's just, then you know what it is.
Yeah.
But blue jackets and then the bee is tough. I think when you launch something, you just want it to be clean. I saw somebody out there posting Utah Yetis. That seems like a no-brainer. Like, have a Yeti bouncing around out there. And
then you can have a Yeti taking on the Kraken. Yeah, like that.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
Yeti fighting Gritty.
There you go.
There you go.
I mean, everybody loves the The old Seattle Supersonics had a Yeti that would run around at the arenas. It had like the athleticism of the old Phoenix Suns gorilla.
See, I think that would be cool. But I think a problem, too, that's happening with sport franchises is now we've been around with professional sports for so long. And so all of these people who own them and are starting new teams, they're in that same position that it seems like over the last 10 years or so, parents have been in and want like really unique names for their kids. And so you get very different names that you've never seen before. And it's like, hey, at a certain point, Joe was a fine name. Tigers is okay. You know, like just do something like that.
Yeah, you just think about what's native to Utah. There's a lot you could go there. I mean, yeah, there's a
Grizzlies. Utah Mountains. Why not just call yourself the Mountains?
Peaks. The Peaks.
Yeah, the Peaks. There you go.
Yeah, there's some stuff there. Other things this week, we learned it last Saturday, but the coolest thing about the spring game on Fox was the unprecedented access to Ryan Day. And it really became... It's funny, they had so many voices on that show in terms of the broadcast, but it was really Ryan Day's show. It was a two-hour showcase in the mind of a guy who continually says, you know, we're going to play 16, 17 games, who's got this roster, this staff that they've paid all of this money for, and it was a window into it. And it was the most fascinating thing for me by far from the spring game. A couple of things here and there we picked up on. We got into that a lot on Monday, but I thought the access today was incredible, and I think that you're going to see more and more of this going forward. You're going to see big networks putting this type of resources to a spring game. It rated lower than I thought. 660,000 was really low. I said over under at 1.2. Both of you guys went under. That was probably too high. Clearly, in retrospect, it was too high. But I was a little surprised it was only 660,000.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Michigan's numbers are this Saturday on Fox. And I think Fox is in it for the long haul. I don't think the numbers are like the most important part of it. I think they wanted like the proof that this works and the broadcast works. And I thought it was the most interesting spring game I had seen. And for the reason we were just talking about, because of the access to Ryan Day, not for really the action on field. The spring games kind of amount to about the same most of the time, but we had a little bit more intrigue, especially at the quarterback position this year as well. But yeah, it sort of felt like, you know, like on First Take when a celebrity will come by to promote something and they just kind of keep them for the whole show, regardless of the topic. Now, this obviously stayed focused on football, but that's what it felt a little bit more like with Ryan Day, a little freewheeling, like we're just hanging out with him. And, hey, what did you think about that? Or, like, even Ryan Day spoke up. We talked about Jeremiah Smith. Watch this multiple times this week. So he embraced it really well, and I think it's because when they're in practice and they're in that spring game, he can't figure out how to stay in the coach speak mode because he's in coach mode at that time. And so you got some truth out of him, some of the real truth.
Now they need to figure out a way to get Red Panda onto a football field. And there's your halftime viewing.
Is she still out there making it happen?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the presentation crushed. It gave you something to watch before you got into the Masters. And so they'll be doing it from here on out. And you're going to start to see a lot more big boy networks start to piggyback. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if NBC tries with the Peacock or tries on Big Boy NBC, ABC, CBS. They all get in on it in some form or fashion because it's something to make the black go away.
And we can talk about the 660 as being a little bit lower than we thought. The record was Alabama on ESPN was 750 in one of the Saban years. But if you juxtapose to what else was going to be on there, it's probably a net win for them. The one thing I'm curious about tomorrow with the Michigan spring game will be, like, we've never really had that access to Sherrone Moore. Sherrone Moore is known primarily for a post-game interview at Penn State. I think he got the job primarily because of that interview.
And
people there liked him.
And according to Austin Meek, who we had on yesterday, that's not really what he's like. That is not his demeanor most of the time. He's a little bit more of a reserved, cool character.
So, like... I'm fascinated to see just how he goes, if they do the same thing. Like, if they have, do you know who's on it? Is it the same cast? Is Urban up there?
I don't know. I mean, obviously I know it's Fox, but yeah, I don't know what the,
I'll is it see Urban if I can and Brady that. Again and that whole group?
Will, like, Urban not say Michigan on the Michigan broadcast in the spring game?
You feel like you have to at that point, wouldn't you? Or would they get like Charles Woodson?
I guess you could have Urban saying bet.
He could. Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see who they run out there on that.
And I believe Klatt will still be there because he announced both of them on his own podcast.
That was pretty good, though, what Klatt was doing with Ryan.
It's amazing. But do you have that same access with Sherrone Moore sat tomorrow? Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch it because I want to see their quarterback situation. Because I don't know those guys, man. You know?
No, and, yeah. It'll be interesting. It'll be a nice lead into the Cavs at 1 o'clock for us. But yeah, I think as long as they still have Joel Klatt out there, that seemed to be a really good intermediary with the coach. And then you have Jenny Taft out there, and she can talk to all the players and everything, and he's in the middle of the field, she's on the sidelines. The way they came up with it and worked it out, at first, I think it's probably one too many. With two people on the field and so many coaches involved, you can probably do two people in the booth and not do three.
You don't need either Brady or Urban if you're going to have a coach participate as much as Ryan participated.
Right. But as far as like their first try at this and trial run, I think success as far as it working and going out there and being a step above what we've seen from spring game broadcast before.
It was entertaining. And yeah, you're going to see more of it, as this thing all goes along. We also this week had several of the NFL teams try to get around the leaks when it comes to their new uniforms. The Lions and the Texans both leaned into it and had some fun with it. The Lions actually were they supposed to launch theirs yesterday, or were they just like, the hell with it, let's do it? Because I thought it was next week when theirs was launching. I know Denver's already is being leaked too. Theirs is supposed to be the 22nd, but can you really get through the weekend? Like these guys, somebody tweeted me this yesterday and they said they really need to do like the Sunday Red approach that Tiger did and drop it and then say you can't buy it until March 1 or May 1. So then you get some time to get it to all of the companies that want to sell the stuff. The problem is they want to announce it and let you buy it.
That's where
the disconnect happens.
Yeah, and right now, as soon as the promotional material is filmed and put together, you need to release it. Because it's not going to be safe sitting there for a week, a month, however long.
And it's, well, in some of these cases, probably multiple months.
Yeah.
I mean, my guess is they probably shot this stuff weeks ago, perhaps a month ago in many instances, some of this uniform stuff. You mentioned the NBA, the Cavs getting going this weekend, NHL getting going as well. Still some play-in games tonight. We'll get into that. Doug LeMaurice on his conversation with Gene Smith that he had yesterday, his impressions of the spring game coming up at 11:33. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
After putting up with Dom DeBerry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
And the Hoops action is heating up. Tipico Sportsbook, the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cashback in the industry, up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now and enter the promo code THEFAN100. You get a $100 bonus when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. If I were to give you the NBA playoffs start in earnest Saturday, you mentioned 1 o'clock for the Cavs and the Magic. That's when they will get going on that one. The play-in games tonight, two more. You get Chicago at Miami, Sacramento at New Orleans in the two games that are on tonight. If I were to say Field or Celtics and Nuggets, wouldn't most people take Celtics Nuggets? And I admit, I follow the NBA pretty casually compared to the way that I used to. But it's hard for me to imagine anybody beating Denver in seven. And if somebody could, it's the only one that I could see doing it is maybe the Celtics. And the rest are all pretty flawed.
Yeah, and like even Oklahoma City got to jump up right there at the end and take the one seed, but they're not. They're not ready for that. If they meet the Nuggets in a series in the Western Conference Finals, that's going to be something that I think the Nuggets are going to be able to take care of in pretty, not easy, but I would think short order, just with all that experience that they have. And they've been in Western Conference Finals. They won the finals last year. That team knows what they're doing. And then the Celtics, this also feels like the year to like, okay, guys, you've been knocking on that door for a while now. Put it together, and the best record in the NBA. They've got even more pieces around Jaylen Brown and who's the other
star? Tatum.
And Tatum, right? So this year, I feel like let's get it, guys. I think I would take that over the field right now.
I would, Reese? Too. If the Celtics can't make an NBA Finals run with an East that's maybe going to include Giannis Antetokounmpo. Not sure his status. Joel Embiid's coming off injury. They've won 9 in a row, so the Sixers are the hottest team. But Miami's got to win tonight, but they're not going to have Jimmy Butler for a couple of weeks. I'm trying to remember the Knicks without...
they don't have Randle.
Julius Randle. The Cavs, I don't have a ton of faith that they can make a deep run. Like, if the Celtics can't get it done this year, it feels like they're never going to be able to do it. So...
Yeah,
I don't see anybody in the West either knocking off the Denver Nuggets.
I could argue the biggest threats to the Celtics.
The Celtics. I mean,
sure, but if beyond that would be the hobbled Embiid Sixers and the hobbled Jimmy Butler Heat. If the Heat can survive, which they will, though they should be able to handle the Bulls tonight. So, I mean, the Heat might be their biggest challenge in round one. They honestly might. They could be. Then the rest of those teams are not serious people. What's happened with Milwaukee since getting Dame? Now, they still have Dame, and they have, if Giannis can come back, but you don't know what that's going to look like. And in the West, the biggest threat to Denver, to me, it might be the Clippers. Maybe it's the Clippers, or is it Luka with Dallas?
Probably Luka and Kyrie and the Dallas. Five.
Can the Suns still get hot with their talent?
I don't know.
They've been to a finals.
They're old dogs.
They have the experience, but... No, it really feels like Denver's game out West. And honestly, yeah, going up against the Lakers, who aren't very hot right now, that seems like maybe they could have a shot against them. But I just don't see it.
Same thing that I just applied to Boston to the Denver, that maybe the best chance to beat them is maybe just LeBron with Magic one more time at age 40. But they have no answer for Jokic. Nobody does.
No, they met in the finals or the Western Conference Finals last year and got swept.
Smoked. Yeah.
I think the best thing for the NBA and longevity would have their one seeds go out early, and then you kind of get to discover
chaos.
Some of the other teams, especially in the East. Like the West, to Chops' point, there's a lot of talent on individual rosters. If you look at the Suns, if you look at the Mavericks, but it's like, can any of those teams get it together for a series?
The Thunder making a run actually might be the best bet for the NBA, like to get that, because they're so young and just on the come up. And if people start to notice this team, they've probably got 3 or 4 more years together with whatever their core guys are. And then they can actually build on that and have some popularity, because right now the West is still being held up by LeBron and Steph, and they're not at the top of the league.
I got news for you. I don't care how Oklahoma City had Durant, Westbrook, and Harden, and nobody cared.
It's true.
They had all of them, and nobody cared. So there, I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander a lot. Hell of a player. First team All NBA guy last year. Going to be it again this year. He's great. But there's nothing in terms of what unfortunately, and this goes to a conversation we've had before, because there aren't, like, they need Anthony Edwards probably. Yeah. And Minnesota's in a similar boat as Oklahoma City. But if Anthony Edwards were to be like, hey, get on my back, I'm going to average 35 a game in the postseason, they're the 3 seed. They play Phoenix. That's probably, if you're hoping for something, it's probably Anthony Edwards' welcome, hello world moment coming in Minnesota. Because the rest of this stuff, I mean, the Pelicans without
Zion.
Without Zion, that's brutal. So the Lakers are old dudes. Suns are old dudes. Luka and Kyrie, Clippers are old dudes. Like, it's probably Minnesota that you need to go.
Yeah, well,
and Boston. I think they would benefit from Boston. Boston isn't the brand that the Lakers are in terms of the national appeal, in terms of like automatic ratings getters, but they're close. They're in the vicinity. And Tatum is a super duper star. So, like, Jason Tatum's ascent, if he could like go and go win a title, I think that would probably win for them.
from the television marketing standpoint, like they need somebody like Anthony Edwards to go in the West because people just aren't very interested in Jokic. And LeBron is not getting any younger. It has to end at some point. The Warriors, they look like they might be about to get blown up. So what's going to happen there? Who are you going to market for your 10 o'clock TNT, 10:30 TNT tip-offs next year out West?
Great question. Great question.
I don't know the answer. Hopefully somebody can come out of it through the Western Conference playoffs.
The person that they were banking on is Ja.
Yeah, right.
And that they're going to bank on him and Wembanyama. That's what they're going to hope for. But it's pretty limited. Think about the bet that Nike made. Think of the last two big bets Nike's made from a signature shoe standpoint on the in the men's side of things. Kyrie Irving and Ja Morant. They bet on two guards in the last decade, big, and built things around them. Kyrie did all the stuff Kyrie did. Ja's stuff's far more serious. Kyrie's just a different dude. And like they have a Ja sneaker, but Ja hasn't played in 2 years. And who the hell wants to are kids crazy about being associated with him anyway?
Yeah.
Like the Ja Morant derailing is an enormous miss for him, for Nike, for the league. Like, they needed him to be what he looked like he was
going to
be.
So now Nike really needs Wembanyama to hit, and it looks like he's going to.
Here's the problem. But big guys don't sell shoes. They don't.
Even Shaq didn't.
No. And Anthony Edwards is an Adidas guy.
I mean, Shaq technically sold shoes, but they didn't sell very well.
Not many. No, not at all. Doug LaMaurice got an hour with Gene Smith yesterday. Look forward to that conversation and his impressions of the spring game. And I know with his buddies at Kings of the North, they took a pretty good look at a lot of spring games around the area. We'll get to him with that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you're starting your day any other way, you're doing it wrong. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat. Because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's head on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with a great friend of the show, the great Doug LaMaurice, the podcast, Kings of Columbus, Kings of the North, all of it. You got to moderate with Gene yesterday. It was riveting. Mm-hmm. Great job out of you, my friend. Did you, he was as candid as he's been. You can do that when you're leaving a job, right? Did you get the sense that he wishes he would have done more or could have done more to prevent college sports from getting where it is?
Yeah, I mean, he really was pretty clear that he thought the NCAA leadership during this time of transition over the last 5-7 years was terrible, right? Like that, and was he didn't say the name Mark Emmert, but I think he said everything but that. And then it's hard because the NCAA is really nothing more than a collection of its schools and universities, right? Like what is the NCAA? It's a group of things. And so it certainly felt like he thought maybe there wasn't more that could have been done because there was such a leadership vacuum at the top of the sport. But I do think he has regrets about how it shook out, that we've seen the NCAA is reactive, not proactive. And if it had been a little more or a lot more proactive, maybe we'd be in a much better position with things making sense. But yeah, I thought he, as you point out, was pretty clearly regretful about how things worked out. Whether or not there's more that someone like Gene Smith could have done, you certainly feel like you're running, arguably the most important athletic department in the country. Maybe you could, but maybe there just was too much of a hole in Indy.
Well, yeah, the thing then becomes like, yeah, because I'm with you. Like, I've always felt like if you do like power rankings of the most powerful people in college athletics, I would always have Gene in the top, for sure, 10 in the country. Like, on an equal footing with the commissioners of the Big Ten and the SEC. And like, it's him and Sankey and whoever's running the Big Ten at the time. And there's some other places out there that have that type of power as well. But, I guess I was always cynical to the idea that he specific, and I love Gene, like him a lot.
Yeah.
And but just from the standpoint of like he personally could have done, I think he had, or maybe I'm wrong. Did he not have as much power as I think?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, one thing is you're running the largest athletic department in the country with 36 sports that you need to take care of. You have a huge budget that you're worrying about, and you want to make sure that the 1,100 athletes at Ohio State are your first priority. But also, I mean, I think the big thing about Gene is that he's been like a good coworker in the Big mm-hmm. Ten, a good colleague. You and I have had this conversation. Gene and I have had. I'm sure you and Gene have had it. Like yeah. Ohio State has not rocked the boat. Ohio State has wanted to be a good partner. Ohio State has not, I think, flexed its muscle at the expense of Purdue and Northwestern and Rutgers in the way that it could. And so it's hard to be all of that, right? It's hard to be, hey, this isn't good enough. We need to fix it. And also, hey, we're going to work with everybody. And I, again, in terms of that, look at where the Big Ten is. And I think you and I agree on that. The mm-hmm. Big Ten, I would not be as positioned as it is to be one of the two leading conferences in the sport. It's the one that's thriving. It's the one that other schools are coming into. If Ohio State had not like fulfilled its role, maybe in the right way, Texas flexed its muscles and the Big 12 kind of fell apart, right?
Yeah.
Ohio State never flexed that way and the Big Ten is thriving. And so, I think that's part of Gene Smith's legacy, but also I don't know. I don't know what more could have been done because as it turned out, from the NCAA level, it was about as bad as it could be, and it's the current chaos is a direct result of that.
There's no doubt, and I do think that there has been a shift with the last two hires of position of prominence at Ohio State. Ted Carter does not come from the backgrounds of previous presidents come from, a world of academia, and he's a fundraiser, man. I mean, that's yep. what he does. Top Gun Ted's going to do that. And then Ross Bjork, just his introductory press conference, let alone any of the other times I've heard him talking. I know he's there for you guys yesterday. Him saying like, we're going to have a role in the future of this sport. Where did that emphasis come from with those two hires? Is that board is how do you, cause this is a different tone from the new guys than the previous guys had.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's context. Like, it's where we are now. And in a world where we all know you're going to have to start paying players, right? There's no doubt about that. And there is going to be continued shifting at the top of the sport, at the top of the football pyramid in some way. And even Gene said something yesterday about, you know, I asked him a Super League question, and there'd been that Super League thing floated that was like 70 or 80 teams, and nobody ever thinks the Super League of football would be that big. But his whole point was, basically, he said, we don't mind sharing with our neighbors. We don't mind sharing with Purdue and Northwestern and Indiana because we know them. They're our neighbors. But there's no way Ohio State's going to share with lesser programs that they don't have a relationship with. And even like that was like Gene has always shared.
Yes.
And Gene was like, yeah, we might be done with the sharing. And so I think Ted Carter and Ross Bjork are less share, more lead. Why is that? I think it's because where we are. Because I think we're reaching a point of where conferences are exploding, where you're talking about tiers breaking off. We're kind of out of the sharing stage of college sports. We're at the lookout for yourself. Gene said, you can't have an NFL revenue model and have parity because we're Ohio State. We raise more money and we want to win more than you, so we're not going to share our money with you. He said that yesterday in a way yeah. that he's never said that before.
No.
So this is the new world, and I do think, I don't mean to be naive about it, everything's great. It feels, though, kind of like for the era they were in, they had the right guy, that Gene Smith was the right guy to share and work with everybody. And now in the new era, they went a different direction, and then those guys might be the right people for this new era where it's about looking out for number one.
I that thing is dead on the line as soon as you say, well, wait a second, why would the SEC and the Big Ten share with anybody? They're not sharing. They're going to lift all these people up. They have all the money. They're never going to share
right.
it. So that thing was dead to rights as soon as it started to get floated out there. Let's do a couple of football ones quickly here, buddy.
Yep.
Five quarterbacks still there. Nobody is in the portal, a competition that's going to continue. What do you make of this and Ryan Day's handling of it?
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those of did they want to keep it a little bit of a tie still at the top that you want both Will Howard and Devin Brown here? Because I still think it's pretty clear, as good as those other three young guys might be, like if something happened to your starter, are you sure somebody else in that room would be ready in September, right? So I think it really, if they can keep Devin Brown and Will Howard around, that's really good. And then, like, Julian Sain and Aaron Noland are kind of like their own little separate competition, but why would either of them go anywhere now anyway, right? So yeah. I do think it makes sense of those four. And then Lincoln Kienholz just needs to make a decision for himself, right? He's clearly the guy in the middle. Is he going to hold off Sain or Nolan down the line? Boy, that seems like a tough thing to do. He's not going to rise up and meet Howard and Brown with where they are right now. So you certainly would imagine a world where, you know, there might be an opportunity out there for Lincoln Kienholz, but also, man, he's still pretty young. And if you want to be here and learn from Chip Kelly and watch those old guys and compete with those young guys, are you going somewhere to start right now? Maybe you hang out and see where you are a year from now. So, you know, I've been watching a bunch of other spring games. There are people talking about, like, I don't think any school could ever have five scholarship quarterbacks again
right,
because of the portal. And it is hard, but maybe, like, if there's going to be a place, they have good quarterbacks here, but they also have a good setup. And if you're not going to a sure thing to start, maybe you hang out.
Get you out of here on this one. Ryan Day has, at every opportunity that he's been available this spring, and I think some of it's about roster retention, to your point with the quarterbacks, is he wants to keep all these guys here, but he's talked about 16, 17 games. Gene said yesterday with you, I went was berserk, was the quote. I went berserk with football. Everybody knows. The pressure he's under, that Ryan's under, I've never seen anything like it since I've been here, and you and I came around the same time. To me, it's like Coop era, right? In terms, and a lot of it is they're owning it. They're owning the pressure.
They are. He has been hardened and steeled by three straight Michigan losses. Mm-hmm. So that, like, to me, right, that's like the, there was this Ryan Day who had never been a head coach. They won in 19. They beat Michigan in 19. They had the COVID stuff. They make the national title game in COVID or whatever. But whatever, it's like the mother of dragons or something, right? Like, you're you're one person, and then you get thrown into the fire, and then the fire doesn't kill you. You come out of the fire, but you're not the same person anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, losing three straight times to Michigan, I almost feel like has maxed out the pressure, the attention, the anger, the disappointment, both in the building and in the fan base, right? Like, it's like three straight losses to Michigan, right? With as good as they were and as close as they were against Michigan last year, against Georgia 2 years ago. So, like, this now is, I think, yes, it's a lot of pressure, but I also feel like all what you're saying, what they've done with the roster, what they've done with the assistant coaching salaries and all that stuff, I think they have maximum ability. We have our guys. So it's like, I came out of the fire. I got my guys. Yeah, we know what we need to do. But, brother, let me tell you what it was like the day after Michigan the last 3 years.
Yeah.
It can't be more pressure than that. And now I got my guys.
You watching
Shogun?
So let's
go, Jack. Let's go, JT. I'm not watching Shogun. Is a good should. Samurai comparison there for me? Yeah.
No. And you did the mother of dragons thing, so that you'd like it.
Yeah.
Like it.
No, so like I think he's like, yes, but also like it's been worse, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Sunday after three Michigan losses, that's as bad as it gets, and it changes you. And so I think, like, Ryan Day, I think the whole program are ready for this.
Good stuff, buddy. Good talking to you again.
All right, brother. Thanks, Bo.
All right, the great Doug Larry Maurice, Kings of the North, Kings of Columbus, and the podcast on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Three things on a Friday. Up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And, well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese. What do you have on the poll?
Daily Fan Poll, sponsored by ER Auto Care, masters of our craft. Today's Fan Poll asks, which team would you pick to win the finals heading into the NBA? Guys, we got to word our fan polls better. Which team would you pick to win the NBA finals? Nuggets, Celtics, Thunder, or other?
Thunder shouldn't be in there. It should have been Celtics, Nuggets, Field.
Yeah, you put a one seed in there.
Yeah. Hey, but these are not serious people.
43% say the Boston Celtics, 40% say the Nuggets, others 14%, but you're not listing any, and then less than 1% say the Thunder will win the NBA Finals.
The Celtics path is just, it's just ripe. If they can't do it now, when could you? Everyone else gonna have to, I mean, it could be a bludgeoning. It could be tough for Denver. They're gonna have a tougher task. They're the big favorite, but tougher task, I would think. All right, time for three things on a Friday.
One, two, three
things.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
Number one for me. So NBA, NHL start this weekend. So it's hard for me to take the Cavs seriously. My hunch is they'll beat Orlando. Otherwise, they're going to be fire sale stuff. But like, they're so flawed, and it feels like they'll be kind of a sacrificial lamb and against Boston, no matter what. So I'll be paying attention to them. But outside of that, I got to tell you, I'm kind of an NBA, NHL free agent. Like, I'm going to get into one of these. It's just a matter, and I could be either one. I have no real pull to one or the other. So whichever one's more interesting here in the first week is the one that I'm probably going to have on at night when I'm done getting the kids from all of the sports activities. I'm going to flip one of them on, and I'm basically a free agent over the next 5 days, whichever one can be more interesting here in the first weekend.
This is a pretty big one because when I first started Awaken 180, I've been almost 16 months ago now, it was a lot of short-term goals in there every week, trying to lose weight and trying to get to this and trying to keep going down. Then you hit maintenance, and now next week will mark a year since I have entered maintenance, and I've actually lost some weight since entering it this time last year. So I would say mission accomplished. That was my long-term goal, to at least keep it off for this year, and now I guess I just get to do this for the rest of my life. But it's pretty cool to make it to a year either way.
Good job out of you, buddy. Proud of you.
I had a quick correction from yesterday. So both Cavender twins are going back to Miami.
Yeah.
Even the one that announced that she was going to TCU decided to return to Coral Gables.
Well, and that Haley Van Lith transferred to TCU.
She's going to TCU.
Correct. But, people thought that the two, her and the other one, would be stars, but now the other one's going back to Miami. So the one transferred to TCU basically for Instagram shots. And then went back. Well,
that's what it amounted to, yeah.
She probably learned that there's, better Instagram opportunities in Miami on South Beach
than Fort Worth.
Yes,
yes. You can only go to the cattle yard so many times in Fort Worth. Number two for me. So we had all three boys in lacrosse practice at the same time from 6 to 7:30, and they were all kind of in the same vicinity. So I was kind of bouncing around, watching a little of them, ran some errands, and I come back to pick them up. So we get them all in the car, get all the way home. We're about 15 minutes from practice to home. We get all the way home, and NBC goes, "I forgot my cleats." So I'm frustrated, annoyed that he did this. Like, you, and by the way, this was, I should have told this first. Before we left, I said, "Why don't you just wear your cleats? Why are you changing shoes? Like, it's 12 minutes in the car. Just wear them there." So he left them. So immediately, him and my wife go find them. They're gone. The cleats are gone. Somebody picked them up. Who knows where they are? They're gone. So we mobilize. All right, you got to get new cleats, all of these things. In the midst of all of this, apparently I called him a moron. Now, I don't remember calling him a moron.
Blind white rage went over you.
Yes. I don't remember calling him one. I don't doubt that I did. I'm sure I did. So I'm sorry. Despite your negligence with your cleats, son, it's a bad job out of dad. And I should not call you that. So, but this, sometimes these things happen. Unexcusable, though.
Bad job out of Jason Kelce. Did you guys hear about his Super Bowl ring and what happened to it? So they were
bowl of chili, right?
Yeah, they were detailing this on their podcast. But yeah, he lost it in a bunch of Skyline chili. He says the insurance claim is already in. They couldn't use a metal detector effectively to find it once they realized that nobody could locate it because there's iron in Skyline chili. So it couldn't be accurate and direct you anywhere. It was just going off consistently. It was tied to a sock, so you'd think, oh, you should be able to find all the socks because they were like fake rings in there, and it was a part of this Lombaby Games event that they were doing, but Jason has just accepted it's gone, says I can probably get a new one. But you know what? I feel for him. As somebody who has lost at least one wedding ring, and I've dropped my wedding ring many times, I like to play with it. I like take it off and flip it back onto my finger. It's just kind of like a fidgety type thing. I've definitely dropped it before in quiet enough places where people are just sitting there and all of a sudden you're ting 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 ting, and then yeah. everybody's so nice and they look for it, which is kind of embarrassing. But yeah, I feel for Jason. I know what he's going through.
Two quick things on this. Number one, how isn't there like a giant strainer that they could have strained the chili through?
Yeah, they apparently threw it all away and was just like,
can't find it, that's it, throw it away. And then the other part is good luck with the insurance claim when you're telling the insurance company that you lost it in a bowl of chili.
Maybe Taylor can buy him a new one.
Yeah, I think he's going to be paying for it.
Second thing, if you are one of the 3,878 Cybertruck owners, you're going to be sending your truck back. Tesla's recalling all of them for a problem where the accelerator pedal can get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
The company's now confirmed to the NHTSA the pedal can dislodge, making it possible for it to slide up and get caught in the trim around the footwell.
Here's the one thing.
The brake overrides the accelerator in this, yeah. Just as I'm reading up on this. But the fact that like the pedal was made of plastic, and I guess the covering slides up, sticks. So, I mean, all gas, no brakes?
Yeah, all electric, no brakes. The one thing I will say, anytime that there's a recall or something like that on mine, it's just a computer update. Like, you don't have to take it in. But if this is a physical defect, then that would be enormous.
You can't update the hardware over the internet.
You cannot in this case. Number three for me, jacked up. We're taking NBC's entire team and most of the families. We're going to Ohio State, Michigan, lacrosse. We got a tournament in Dublin this weekend, so we're gonna do that. And then our last game's at 5:10, so we're going straight down. We're going to watch Ohio State, Michigan, lacrosse. So expose some kids to that beautiful new facility Nick Meyers built over there.
Okay, so I'm trying to see. I don't think there is currently a player with this name on the Memphis Tigers roster right now, but they have to figure out and get somebody. Go into the portal. There's got to be somebody with the last name Wilson, because they announced a $5 million yes. deal with Memphis and FedEx, because FedEx is in Memphis. That makes total sense. But you have to be able to link this to some athlete at Memphis, because they're sponsoring multiple sports with this. Somebody with the name Wilson and just some sort of Wilson advertisement with FedEx. That's the only prerogative of this NIL deal.
I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. We didn't talk about it during the show, but Jaguars general manager Trent Baalke totally farted during his press conference. He even apologized for it mid-fart.
Mid?
Well, at the end of the fart. He farted and he's like, excuse me. I have the audio if you want to hear it, but it's a little low.
Yeah.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
This is an old guy. Whatever.
Slippery one, man.
Yeah.
Good grief. With that, Rothman and Ice are next. We're back Monday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Common Man and T-Bone are idiots. You should listen to them anyway.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio's idiot destination. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update's brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Just 6 days away from the NFL draft, the over-under number of Big Ten players to be taken in the first round's 5.5. SEC leads the way with an over-under of 10. The conference may be down to 2 now, but the Pac-12 had talent. The over-under number of Pac-12 players to be drafted in the first round is 7. ACC Big 12 is 3.5. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan Sports Center.
I'm Timmy Hall. Good afternoon on this dreary day. Still got to hit some golf balls, though. We go to baseball. The Guards took 3 of 4 from the Red Sox in Boston with a 5-4 win last night. Guardians will now be home for a weekend set against the A's. Starts tonight at 7:10. Reds have a weekend home set against the Angels. Game one tonight set for 6:40. They just got swept out in Seattle. Clippers continue their home series versus Buffalo. 6:15 first pitch out at Huntington. Looking at college basketball, a couple things. UConn phenom freshman Stephon Castle is entering the NBA draft. He's expected to be a very high pick and stay there. And ex-Louisville coach Kenny Payne is joining Coach Cal's staff at Arkansas. NBA play-in games finished tonight. Bulls are at the Heat for the 8th seed in the East. That's at 7. 9:30, the Kings are at the Pelicans for the 8th seed out West. This one is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, give Mark Levy a call. 1-800-MORE-SLEEP. He'll help you. Or visit him.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call